This week, and maybe because of sickness and things, I was asking the Lord, well, what subject do I need, would you give me for this Sunday? And the subject he gave me was on hope. Yes. You know, hope is a wonderful thing. Yes. What if in these places that we just sang about, we would love to stay over in the positive one all the time, but things change and we hit the negative sides. What if there was no hope of that ever changing to an improvement? Life would be pretty terrible. But I was wanting us to look at something before we really even start into what I want to share with you. There are some things in life that I can put my hope in that can leave me with no hope if I put my hope in that in itself. You know, money is one of those things. There are a lot of people that put their hope in that they have a good savings account, got a good bank account. You know, if all our economy would have to do is change drastically, and it doesn't matter how much money you have, we only have to go back to the Great Depression and read stories about that. Somebody was maybe a millionaire on paper one day, and the next day they are just like the poorest people that are needing food. Those things can change for us. Amen. And what we don't want to do is allow our hope to go into those things that this is where my hope is. Because if it leaves me, then I'm without hope. And I want to start with something. Over in Job is a good example for us in some of the things to put our hope in and things that he did not allow his hope to be put in. In Job, the 31st chapter, you know, they were questioning, Job, there's something that has gone wrong in your life. You need to search it out and see what it is. They even came to the point of telling him, I have never seen anybody living for God to have this kind of trouble. There's something that you've done or you're doing, and you need to find out what that is. Well, Job is kind of doing some inventory on his life. And 31 and 24, because you know what it says about Job? He was the greatest man of the East. His wealth, you know, I would not consider myself wealthy if I had 500 camels. I'd be thinking, what am I going to do with these things? But you know what? That was money to them back then. He had so many sheep. He had so many oxen. He had so many of these things. And it said he was the greatest man of the East. Well, as he's doing kind of an inventory of his life, in the 24th verse, I saw this, and it says, if I have made gold my hope, or if I have said to find gold, you're my confidence. You know, that was written a long time ago, but that's a little warning for me today. If I have looked at my bank account, and it happens to have something in it, what does it say? If I have made that my hope, if I have said to find gold, you're my confidence. It goes on down and tells me, here's the danger of it. It says, this also is an iniquity to be punished by the judge. Why? Because I have denied the God that is above. You know, if I have some money, I need to be thankful for it. You remember in Deuteronomy, it tells us, if things start going well for you, remember, it was God that gave it to you. Don't say, my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But to say, you know what? God gave me the health to be able to get the wealth. And that all of my hope is in him. Because here's the thing. If my hope always goes back to God, then if I have temporal blessings, good. Should those temporal blessings, as Job's did in just one day, all of those temporal things were gone. How did he end it? Says he fell down on the ground, but he didn't kick his feet. Says he fell down on the ground and he worshiped and he said, I didn't have anything when I came. I won't have anything when I leave. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is quite an attitude to be able to have. There are places that tell me, Proverbs 23 and 5, riches can make wings and fly away. That is so true. You know, you can have things seem to be really going well for us. And all of a sudden, you ever had it? You look in your bank account and you got a little money. And then you start hearing the noise in your car. And you take it by the car place and he checks it out. And it's almost like he looked in your bank account and saw how much you had left. And he said, okay, it's going to take that plus some more to be able to fix it. And you're back down in the bottom again. You know, that is life. But my hope needs to go to another level than that. Otherwise, I'm just riding the wave all the time. And there's warnings for me. Psalm 62 and 10. If your riches increase. So it doesn't say you cannot let them increase. It says if they do increase, there's something to do about it. Do not set your heart on it. There's a difference between having riches and setting my heart on those things. So what I'm wanting to think about is these things, for me to set my hope in temporal things means my hope is gone when those temporal things are gone. I can have the temporal things, but I need to have my hope always in God. If I have this, and I love the example that Job has left us. If I have them, you know, he was still living for God. He didn't, when he was wealthy and his things were going well, he didn't forget about God. He was still, back then they needed to do sacrifices and he was doing them. Doing everything he could to live for the Lord. When it left him, he didn't deny God. He just kept on living for God. To me, that's a great example. But there's another thing that I can set my hope in if I'm not careful. The world is doing it all around us, and they're setting their hope in health. I am eating the right things. I am doing the right things. I'm going to the gym. I'm working out. No, I'm not, but I mean, a lot of people are. And they're doing all the right things, and now I am healthy, and I have arrived. You know, really, that is in the same category as when I have some money and I think I've been able to get it. I need to always remember all of these things come from God. And really, when I look over in Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter, it just gives me a little picture of the aging process. And you know what I find out? I'm moving over into that aging process, the other end of it. And if my hope was in health, when that aging process starts taking that health away, I lose my hope. There's no hope there anymore. Job's wife had her hope, probably in temporal things. But when she looked at his health leaving, she saw no hope. And what did she tell him? Do you still retain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? You don't have health now, so what's the purpose for living? There are people today that when they lose their health, their hope is gone. And this story has always stood with me now for several years. One morning I went to work, and I worked downtown in Oklahoma City. And as I pulled into the parking garage there, across the street there were police cars, had the streets blocked off. And so when I went inside, I said, well, what's happening over there? And they said, well, this morning a young woman went to the top of the garage and jumped off and killed herself. And they're still over there, got it closed down. And so I was thinking, you know, that is so sad, because you look at this kind of subject. If you put your hope in things, my health is good today and my hope is here. You know, there are a lot of people that have hope and then health leaves them and hope is gone. So I thought with this, a young woman, how could she lose hope to that level? So I decided I'm going to do some checking. I want to find out something about this story. So I got to checking, and they said she had called a taxi cab and had them to drop her off. So she visited with them. She talked to them. She got out, told them goodbye, and then walked to the top of the garage and jumped off. And so I thought, how could she be cheerful here? She knew what she's going to do. And then I found out she had cared for her mother, and her mother had some kind of a lung disease that she watched step by step as that lung disease took her life, and her mother died. And just a short time later, this young woman started getting the first symptom of that again. And she said, I've watched this. I've watched it progress in my mom, and I will not go through it myself. And so she took her life. Well, the sad part of that was because here's the things that can happen when there's no hope. You don't see any way out of it. She jumped off, took her life, and then they did the autopsy. They said hers was just like a common cold, that her lungs were kind of stopped up. There was no disease. There was no problem. But in her mind, she saw things, and it caused it to be no hope. I want to tell you what hope in God will do for us. There's a verse over in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though the outward man perish, and here's the thing, to every person, our outward man is going to perish. It's going to start declining. What is it? There's a reason for it. It is appointed unto man. That's in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Though it perishes, though the outward man starts declining, starts perishing, there's something that was happening in this. The inner man is renewed day by day. It can increase as my body starts decreasing. That's hope, because my hope is in something more than my health. And when my health leaves me, hope is gone. There is another verse of a song, Psalm 51. My hope is built. It's built. Every one of us have a hope that's built on something. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I don't put my hope in anything but God. He is the one that is able to help me in the good times. The song that we sang was a good song for this message, because we can be in the good times and my hope is just strong. Things are going well for me. But then things change and things can go bad for us. Our hope in God can keep on going. So I look at this. To be able to have my hope restored, because every one of us can come to a place where it seems like this situation, there's no hope for me to be able to get a change from this. I was looking at the definition of hope. A desire of some good. Hope is always looking for something good out ahead with an expectation of receiving it. If there is something that it is impossible to be able to receive it, there's people that have a hope, I've heard of them before, to get a jail sentence for 4 consecutive life sentences. They did something so bad that if you could serve, that what they're really telling you is there's no hope. You will never get out of prison. And those kind of things can give no hope. But I want to tell you, there's some things in our life that can cause us to have no hope. And probably where part of this came from this week was whenever I looked at the disciples on Palm Sunday, you know, they had a wonderful hope. They came in with a multitude of people rejoicing and throwing branches down. The king is coming, Hosanna. And all these happy times, they had a big hope, because they had already been talking about who's going to be the greatest in this kingdom that he's going to have here on earth. Well, a few days later, he's crucified and he's put in the tomb, and all hope is gone then, because the grave is final. Mm-hmm. Hope for anything after that is final, except for the resurrection. And I thought about how important the resurrection was for them and for us today. You know what? When we bury a loved one, all hope can be gone. We won't ever see them again. We won't be with them again. But you know what? When Jesus rose from the dead, he did something to remind us this isn't the end. We have a hope that stretches out on past that. And then he let them know, you know what, the grave's not final. There's a resurrection. And he spent those 40 days with them to be able to show them that he had raised from the dead. Hope was restored. And then not only hope, but I want to look at a verse in Acts, the first chapter. Because you know what, he's not here today to give us hope. But he spent some special time with them. And then they get to watch him going up to heaven. Acts, the first chapter, in the 9th verse. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up." So you know what? There's a hope there. He says, just like you just now saw him going up, you will also see him. He will also come again one day. You know what? That's been 2,000 years ago. But I have an expectation. I have a hope. He's coming again. You know what? And not just at the end of all things. But you know what? He has come even whenever he comes for our loved one and takes them home to be with him. That's part of that hope that we can have. And I'm glad for it. Because there is a verse. You ever talk to your soul? You know, think about, are we in control of our soul? There's a verse that says, my soul is continually in my hands. What I allow, whether I give it hope or whether I don't give it hope, I allow those things to happen. I want to go to a verse talking to the soul. It's in Psalms 42. So what if I start getting discouraged? I'm starting to lose hope. Things are going negative for me. My bank account has run to zero. And my health is gone. I don't have much going for me. What kind of hope can I have then? Look at this verse in Psalms 42 and 5. I can talk to my soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Why is it that these things are starting to disturb me, causing my hope to be gone? Here's what I need to do. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Don't set my hope in these temporal things that can leave me, but set my hope in God. And you remember when the disciples were in the boat, Jesus was asleep in the bottom of it. The storm comes up and they're afraid they're going to die. You know what? Their hope, they knew how to sail a boat. They were fishermen. They had been out on water before. But this one was bad enough that their hope of survival by themselves. Remember they went and woke Jesus up and just asked him, don't you care that we perish? What did he do? Did he get all shaken? Oh, this is worse than I would ever imagine. No. What he did was just spoke to the elements, peace be still, and it all calmed down. And you know what they were able to do is look at that and said, he's in control of these things too. And I'm thinking about for myself, I can have my hope can be gone if I'm only looking in what I'm able to do about it. What I need to do is even when things are going well for me, don't set my hope in it because of what I've been able to do. Do not say, you know what, I've worked hard all these years and now I've got something. Don't ever go. The scripture clearly tells us don't do it. Always turn everything back to God. It even comes down to the reminder for us whenever I'm going to eat a meal. Stop. Don't eat yet. Don't let it be just a habit. My mama did it. My daddy did it. So I guess I'll do it. No. Let it be doing something. It's telling me my hope is not in that I was able to go out and get the money and went to Walmart and bought the groceries. No, my hope is in God provided me with strength. He gave me these things today. Should economy turn around tomorrow and I don't have it, the same God that took care of me today, he will also take care of me tomorrow. And I want to be able to have that. Now, here's how we can have hope and how they intended for it to be passed from generation to generation. I want to look over in Psalms, the 78th. And I want to be able to do this with my children, my grandchildren. There's something that needs to, for hope to be able to be cultivated in them too. 78 and 4, starting in 4. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he has done. So my children come along and I'm telling them, let me tell you what God has done for me in the past. You know, had this problem You know, Brother Wright being able to pass it down. You know, I drove from Norman with that brick on the back of my car. That thing could have come off and given me so much trouble. I am so thankful. Just little things that we would normally just, well, I'm glad that didn't happen. But to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I'm thankful. Wonderful works that he's done. He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So what I'm doing is I'm also telling my children, my grandchildren, here's how the Lord wants us to live. Here's the commandments that he's given us. Here's the guidelines he's given us for our life. Sixth verse, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. We're talking children, grandchildren, passing down what the Lord has done. And here's the whole purpose for doing that. Look at this verse in the seventh verse. That they might set their hope in God. Not, you know what? I do not want my children, my grandchildren in good times economically to be able to say, you know what? Look at what Dad has been able to do. Because you know what? If we do that in the good times, we're going to lose hope in the bad times. But this one is all of those things that God has done in the past, all of his commandments for it, teach them to your children, pass them down to them, so that they will set their hope in God and not forget the work of God's, but to keep his commandments. You remember with Samuel, the children of Israel was in a desperate time, and Samuel called out to the Lord, and the Lord thundered on the Philistines and gave the children of Israel a mighty victory. They were so happy. But Samuel did something. He said, take this stone. I'm going to call it an Ebenezer stone. Do we start worshiping this stone now for helping us out? Nope. You remember when Aaron said, bring me your gold. We're going to make a calf and we're going to start worshiping that. Nuh-uh. That's not what this stone was for. You don't come back and worship the stone for helping you. What you got is something that's solid, that the next time you walk by this path, you take a look at this stone and let it be a reminder to you. It'll always be here. Let it be a reminder to you. I had trouble back here one day, and God helped us out. And I remember the story. My children, my grandchildren walk along with me, and I tell them about it. You know, that same thing happened with the Jordan River. When they crossed over, he said, I want one person from each tribe to pick up a stone out of the middle of this, take it over to the other side and stack them up. Are we going to worship this pile of rocks out in the future? Nuh-uh. I just want something solid out here to remind me way back. You know, after years have passed, I don't need to cross the Jordan River anymore, so I forget about it. No, but I've got other troubles in my life, and I walk by this path and I see the pile of stones and it reminds me. Well, those are way back there. But I think for us in 2026, we need to start building some places in our life. The Lord helped me here, and he will help me out in the future also. Want to be able to have that in my life, passing it down to the next generation. And in Psalms 147 and 11, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that have a hope in the mercy of the Lord. You know, we see so many stories in the Bible about mercy being extended. You know what? I want to be able to have in my own life, part of my hope is in the mercy of the Lord for me, to be able to guide me the places that he has to correct me. It's his mercy that he does that. To be able to hope in his mercy. Psalms 136. Every verse in that chapter, I think there's maybe 26 verses. The first one starts out, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. You know, that's something I can hope in because it's always going to be there. It doesn't matter what the conditions are. His mercy endureth forever. We sing a song sometime. I think it's song number 454. I am hoping in thy mercy. Not in that which I can do. For I know thou failest never. To my soul you will be true. I have I'm hoping, not in the good things that I've done in my life, I don't have something here that ought to be able to get God's attention. Lord, what I'm hoping is in the mercy of the Lord. For me, for my family, for those around us. And then I start thinking about something else. Hope is proportional. It's proportional to what we see. Whenever I see a big trouble and what I put my hope in, you know, I can look at a big trouble and say, there's nothing I can do about it. Why are you cast down, oh my soul? Because I'm looking at what I can do about it. But as I start looking, and there's this song, I haven't heard it for quite a while now. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. And what is the bigger than all my fear, doubts and fears, the things in my life that can get like a mountain to me, to be able to recognize God is bigger than these things. Yeah. Not just my little head knowledge. My dad told me this. My mom told me this. But I have built on it day by day in my life. I don't set my hope in myself. I set it in God. And now when this mountain comes to me, this big trouble, I'm able to say, you know what? My hope is in something bigger than what that mountain is. And I'm very glad for it. You remember when Peter saw the Lord out on the water? And just, I don't know what caused Peter to think about it. But he said, Lord, if that's you out there, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. So he just, it'd be one thing if the water was like glass. It looks like a frozen lake and you could walk on it anyhow. But it's not. There's a storm out there. The boat's probably just shaking around. But he jumps out in the water and he starts walking. What is it? Hope is proportional to what we see. You know, it said as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. But when he looked, because the waves are, you know, he's probably moving around on these waves some. When he looked at the waves and how he should not even be out there trying to do such a thing anyhow, he started to sink. And I'm thinking for 2026, when we have so many things that we can depend on of our own to be able to help us out, I want to be able to have my hope is set on God. That yes, he gives us some things that we should do ourselves. But if the underlying point of it all is, my hope is in God. If my ability is gone tomorrow, what does it say? No matter what happens, he will care for me. That covers everything in our life. It covers my health. It covers my wealth. It covers all those things, all those fears that can come to me about tomorrow's. Hope in God rises above all those. There's a God in heaven that is walking with me. He sees my tomorrows. I love it that Jesus was able to recognize, you know, he was able to see things that would happen tomorrow. He knows my tomorrows today. And you know, he really wants to even help me prepare for those tomorrows. Send some little things my way whenever I'm starting to drift a little bit. Starting to believe, you know, life has been going real good for me for several days now. I'm healthy. I've not been sick for a while. You know how easy it is for me to forget about when my back hurts so bad. I could not hardly get up from the bench to come up here. When one step, I remember whenever I would still go to work, I'd have to drive for 45 minutes. And when I got out of the car, it was like, don't move, don't walk, stand still, hang on to the car till everything starts getting ready to move again. Because I could not hardly walk. And at a time where when I could then start walking, I thought about every step because every step was painful. You'd think I would just be saying thank you, Jesus, every day for touching my back. You know how easy it is for me to forget about it. Everything's going good now. In fact, I can do some pretty heavy work and it doesn't even bother me. I need to set my hope in God. Yes. Because you know what? Tomorrow that or something else can break on me. And if I've set my hope in my health, then my hope is gone. And maybe I don't commit suicide, but you know what I can do with when my emotions can ride these waves of things are going well, I'm so happy. Things are not going well, I need to shut my door, close the blinds. I don't want to talk to anybody, I'm down. No, the Lord wants to raise us up and take us on a level, is not conditional to our circumstances around us. And part of that is my part. You know, God is able to do that for every one of us, but we have a part to play. And that is me setting my hope in God. I want to be able to do that. We also sing a song in 284. The waves around may fiercely roll. They cannot harm my trusting soul. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. No matter what I'm seeing, and just by seeing this, I know what the next step will be, and the next step, I know the progression this thing is going to do. Just like the woman that jumped off the building there, I know what the next one's going to be. The next step of this tomorrow will be this and this and this. You know, the devil wants to do that to all of us. He wants to drive us to where we have no hope. Well, we shouldn't have hope in ourselves to start with. My hope is built on nothing less. My hope is built on God, and He will be able to take me through that. And then there's something that faith is able to help feed our hope in God. Yeah, I want to look at a little place over in Acts, because the conditions around look terrible in this. It's in Acts, the 27th chapter. This is when Paul, he's a prisoner. He's going to Rome. He's being sent to Rome. They're in a ship. And a storm comes along, and it is a terrible storm. 20th verse says, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. What would that be? You know, I thought about how they did back then. I can go overseas in an airplane, be over there in a few hours. They're needing to travel just really relatively a short distance compared to what we travel. And theirs is by boat. And it is all conditional. You know, even for them to be able to navigate which way they want to go, you're going to have to see the sun. You're going to have to see the moon. You're going to have to see the stars. When in all those days they saw none of those, they didn't have a clue where they were. All they know is we're being driven by the wind. We're heading somewhere. I think this is kind of important for us to remember here. You know, we have a compass or something. It doesn't matter if it's dark outside. We can tell which way is north. They didn't have that back. Wasn't able to tell what was what. And then all hope that we should be saved was taken away. That would be one dejected feeling, except it wasn't so for Paul. He talks to those people, and he says, 22nd verse, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Be of good cheer now. We don't have any hope of being saved. Yeah, we do. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but just of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. You know, we had in Sunday school this morning about hearing the voice of the Lord, being able to understand His voice. Paul understood His voice, because here came a voice to Paul. Stood by me an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So now he's talking to him. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. You know what? That's what's going to give us hope in 2026 when there's big things happen. I just don't see how this thing's going to work out for us. Sir, I believe God. My hope is built on not myself or what I can do. My hope is built on God. And so when all hope was gone, didn't matter to Paul. God was still there. Regarding not what I may see, my faith, O Lord, ascends to Thee. But there are some things that we can see that can cause our hope to be gone. I want to look at it for just a little bit. It's over in Psalms. It's in the 73rd chapter. Because this is one that can get us sometimes. When we look around at evil, and you know what? It seems like evil succeeds. seemed like there's no trouble to come to somebody that's doing evil. They don't have trouble in their life. And that's what happened over here in this Psalm 73. First verse, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But look at this second verse. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Because in all these next verses, I started looking around. You know, our hope is proportional to the things that we're looking at. I started looking around at other people. It seemed like the wicked were prospering. There's not even any bands in their death. They're just, and you know, we see that today. There's people that have no fear of dying. You know, we have a great fear. I'll tell you, Lord, I want to be ready when you call for me. I want to take inventory. I want you to deal with me. I want you to do whatever you have to do. But it seemed like the wicked can just go out into eternity with no fear at all. And so he's looking at all those, and it says, 16th verse, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I just saw, you know what, I've been afflicted, I've had troubles in my life, and the wicked seem to be prospering and doing well. But then it says, until I went into the sanctuary. They're not troubled like other men. All these things are happening, and I'm having trouble. But then I went into the sanctuary in the 17th verse, and then I understood their end. And it's, hope starts coming back again to him. Look in the 23rd verse. Even though all these things are happening around me, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Here's hope coming back again. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Here's hope. You're going to guide me. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward going to receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. You know, let's keep our eyes focused on the Lord. That's where our hope has got to come from. Because when we start shifting it and we start realizing, you know what, look at this person. They're not even serving God and they have no trouble in their life. Everything's going good. The devil would like to use those things to affect our hope. But there's another area that I want us to look at before we close. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, it says, we do not sorrow like those that do not have hope. When we go to a funeral of a person that we have watched their life and they have always set their hope in Christ, they have followed the Lord, they have allowed the Lord to lead and guide them. We don't sorrow like people that have no hope, because we have a hope that way back there when Jesus rose from the dead, because he did, one day we will also. It says, if we believe that Christ rose from the dead, then we're also going to believe that if we'll be faithful to the Lord one of these days, we will too. And at the end of that chapter, it says, hope, let us, how did it close out? It says, to comfort one another with these words. You know, sometimes comforting one another is not too comfortable about, you know, one of these days we're going to die, we're going to leave this life. But comforting one another is, you know what, if we'll be faithful, yes, we will have a hope of eternal life. And I am thankful for that. And it talks about death. Oh, death, where is your sting? This is in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. How can that possibly be? Death is final. It's the end of it all. Oh no, not to the Christian that has their hope set in the Lord. It's really only the beginning. It says, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? To a person that has no hope in Christ, this is the end of it here. But it's not for us. And I'm very thankful for it. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 198. Because it's one thing for us to have a hope for the temporal things in life, but it's another thing to be building a hope that will take me out into heaven. And here's something I want us to think about. I'll read sometimes about a person. I saw this during a spring break when a lot of the young people from colleges and all will go out on the beach. And it told about a young man. He had tunneled into a sand dune just playing, but tunneled way back in there. And he tunneled deep enough that it collapsed and killed him. And so now they're going to have the funeral for him. And so they're describing what it's like while he's in heaven now. They said, he is now up in heaven dancing with the angels. Then another little clip, yep, he's up there flirting with the angels. You know, people out in the world don't have a clue of what happens when death has finished. But I want to tell you, to the Christian, we can have a great hope. And this song tells us, do we have any hope within us of a life beyond the grave? We can have it, and I want to be able to have it. I want it to be built in my life. What is this? Have we any hope within us of a life beyond the grave in the sweet and vernal lands? Do we know if this our tabernacle were to be dissolved, we have a house not made with hands? We have a hope within our soul. It's brighter than the perfect day. God has given us a spirit. We want the world to hear it. All the doubts are passed away. This one, hope has brought us, look at this third verse. Hope has brought us through the dangers and the temptations of the past. Hope has. The thing that we've been talking about this morning. Hope, the expectation of something good out in the future. Hope has brought us hope that God is going to help me with this problem that I'm facing right now. Has brought us through the dangers of the temptations of the past. We need not fear those to come. By her blessings, we'll go forward while our mortal life shall last. And then we're going to joyously go home. We have a hope within our souls. I want to be able to build that hope, because there's going to be a lot of things that would like to take our hope and cause us to lose it. But may we always build it. It's not built on me. It's not built on the health that I have. It doesn't talk about, okay, because things are going good for me this week and I have a little money in the account. No, my hope is built on God and to be able to have eternal life. Maybe we could stand and sing that number 198.